personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, Dow is back.
Yeah.
We've got Dow back on the show, which is good.
You act like it was my fault. Was it my fault?
I don't remember. I went to Salt Lake City.
Oh, that's right.
An appointment. But, yeah, it's a good thing we got you back, Dal, because last week was our lowest viewed episode, at least on the YouTube channel. I think it got normal views for
it
the...
It was?
Oh, by far.
Oh, well, then look at me. I'm Mr. Fancy.
Oh, yeah. Dal is the viewership pusher.
Yes, tens of people are waiting to hear this.
Hey, we lost those tens of people a week ago, so we got to get them back now. Anyhow, I guess we may as well start with what's breaking right now.
Okay.
It's not really huge sporting news, but it's something. Tom Brady has agreed to a deal with Fox to be the lead color commentator as soon as he retires.
Yeah, 10 years, $375 million. Now, even if you're crappy at math like I am, you can do that. It's $37.5 million a year.
I think that's more than he makes in Tampa.
It's more than he's made in his entire football career. Someone put those numbers up today. Now, keep in mind, in New England, Tom kind of took a hometown discount for several times to keep him competitive. And it probably helped him win a few more rings.
I'd imagine.
But his career earnings... I saw a graphic. It said $333 million, and then this one contract with Fox for something he's never done before, $375. Now, as someone who talks about sports for a living and does play-by-play and color commentary for sports, granted, it's not at the NFL level, but that would be like my dream job. First off, I would have to prove myself a million times over to climb from where I started to get to the NFL. And even then, if people didn't like me, they'd be like, that guy sucks. I want someone else. Tom Brady has never done it before in his life. $375 million.
And you know the biggest problem I kind of have with this is, yeah, he's Tom Brady. And that's a great, this is clearly Fox's counter to A, losing Buck and Aikman in one swoop.
This is the big double bird to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
And B, CBS having the Romo-Nance combo that draws ratings like crazy. I think they just wanted their own. Look, we've got a star quarterback too, and it's Tom Brady. The problem is, did you ever see Tom Brady's Saturday Night Live appearance?
Remind me of one of the skits. It doesn't stand out like Peyton Manning does.
Tom Brady, probably, obviously very smart football-wise. He's not exactly the most charismatic human
being
on the
planet. He's not as funny as Peyton Manning, is what
you're saying. No, he's not Manning. He's not Romo. Even Troy Aikman, who, many people don't like because they think he talks like, the human equivalent of drywall. But Tom Brady is... probably even lower than that on the I talk like a personable human being scale.
I'll tell you what, he's worth $37.5 million a year. You know what this reminds me of? Something else that I'm kind of annoyed about. I'm always annoyed about something. Again, another, my dream job. If someone says, Dad, what's your dream? Well, my number one dream job, play-by-play for the Wyoming Cowboys football. Dave Walsh has that nailed down. Dave, you're awesome. But after Dave, I would move. I would move. I would go back to Laramie, and I would do that. And I would be happy as a clam until they made me leave. Mm-hmm. That's the other dream. The more dream type job is I would love to do voice work. I guess you call me a voice actor for DC animation, like those. I would love that would be like my dream job, or like. Do voices or something for like animated movies, something like I would love that. That'd be like a dream job. And it reminds me of, back in the day, the voices for the characters used to be voice actors. They used to be whoever got the job or the part. And then it's like, we can just start casting celebrities and they can do whatever they want. And then people come watch it because the celebrity is talking. And that's how all these movies are made now. Now these animated movies come out, and they're like, look at these 20 celebrities we've got to do voice. Yeah, you want to know what the voice actor people are doing now? Spots for Gatorade or genital warts or something.
Hopefully entirely unrelated commercials.
It's not fair, is what it is. It's the same thing with this. There's someone that deserves that job because that's their dream job, and they will have earned it to that point, but they're not going to get it. Tom Brady's going to get it.
Though, to be fair, I suppose in the modern professional sports world, if you are like you or I and you climb up as a broadcaster, your goal is evidently play-by-play because every color commentator is always just an ex-player or coach.
And I struggle with that because I do color commentary a lot for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I did not play any of these sports. I have a metal plate in my head. I had to learn how to talk right from the beginning. That's true, by the way. Mm-hmm. If people were like, oh, he's just... No, I have a titanium mesh plate in my head at about 2 inches square. 2.5. And I have the piece of bone that it replaced at home. I keep saying I'm going to make like a bolo tie out of it. But I have not done that. But I still think about it. These are all true thoughts, by the way. But yeah, I'm with you on that. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Brady doing that though, the other question becomes: is Fox ever even going to get 10 years out of him? I mean, legitimately, he might be dead within 8 years of his retirement, the way he's going.
I don't know. He seems to be aging like a fine wine.
Well, yeah, but he's going to play till he's 84.
He looks better than the. Is it Stalin or Lenin that was? Yeah, Lenin, the former Russian dictator, mm-hmm. leader, whatever you want to call him. And they had him in like a cryogenic visible casket. So like he still looked like he was just lying in state perpetually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady. He doesn't age. He looks better now than he did 20 years ago. And let's be honest, the dude, yeah. The bottom line is he pays for it every day. He doesn't put things into his body that he feels like shouldn't be in there. Meanwhile, what time is it now? I'm already thinking about the two McDoubles I'm going to eat from McDonald's here in a few hours when I go up to Jackson. So there's the difference.
Well,
but
sometimes I don't wonder too though about some of the weird things that Tom Brady claims with his diet, of how much of this is truly helpful diet and how much of this is just Tom Brady is a weirdo.
Well, and how much of is he selling his whole, you know, that the TB12 method, you know, you too can be odd and spectacular at sports.
Have you seen the article that came out like 5 years ago when Tom Brady released his means for a healthy athletic diet, and someone wrote an article like a week after he posted it, literally titled, and you can Google it right now if you want to, Tom Brady is trying to kill you.
Well, I'm going to look that up right now.
That was one of my favorite headlines I've ever seen. Turns out it was just about his diet, because when I first saw the headline, I was panicked a little bit. What is Tom Brady up to?
You thought he was in your room?
What is Tom doing?
Hey, there it is. Tom Brady. Google even finishes it out for us. Tom Brady is trying to kill you. In fact, it's only 4 years ago.
Oh, my apologies.
You're still so young and your brain is so pliable. You remember things. That stops probably next week, though. You're going to be a dad.
Yeah, and then all my brain cells die.
Yeah, well, they don't die all at once.
No, but they're slowly beaten to death.
Yeah,
over time.
That's how it works.
So I understood it.
My oldest is 21, so
I at least have the moderate advantage of having been the oldest child with a 10-year gap. So I've at least been around human babies as they were growing up.
Human baby.
Yeah, my wife was the baby of her family.
I was too.
Yeah, so
that's why we're all funny. But Tom Brady's trying to kill you by Megan Day, who wrote this. And this swindler goes by many names. One of those names is Tom Brady.
And it's just about his diet.
Well, they're talking about the new book, The TB12 Method, How to Achieve a Lifetime of Sustained Peak Performance. She calls it macho, I assume it's a woman, it says Megan Day,
yeah.
Is macho gibberish. An Axe commercial on an acid trip.
I gotta read it now.
Anyway.
This sounds like the greatest book ever written.
If you want to, yeah, it does. If anything, maybe they'll sell a couple more books because of our podcast this week. I don't know. Maybe one, because you'll buy it.
It'll be me. I will be personally responsible for the spike. But then on top of that, we're also going to, you know, you didn't get a chance to yourself. I did read them for everybody. Let everyone know your NHL round one picks last week. And thus far, we're, you know, only one series is concluded.
Avs.
The Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, baby.
Which, by the way, neither of us take advantage of because we both saw that coming. We both had Colorado. Yeah. But Nashville was not really a playoff team.
Even last night, I watched the game last night. Sorry, it's a Tuesday. It was a Monday night game. But I watched that game last night with the Avalanche and the Predators. And the Predators actually scored in this one. Because the Avs kept making defensive mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't matter. The Avs were just like, oh, we're going to get it back, and they did.
Colorado is so fast.
They are, and they're so subtle. One of the things they were doing last night, one of the goals, I think it was Makar, who won the Norris Award today, by the way. He was named that award. Whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know. I don't know what has bad karma in hockey anymore.
Just the President's Trophy, really.
Okay. But Makar, he was kind of fading back past the center line and then just kind of like, and they're like, it was a very subtle thing. And what he was doing was he was allowing the Avalanche line to finish changing real quick. And then, so the Preds were a little slower. And while they were like that, the very last guy who's gassed is trying to get, then they attack and they're so fast, boom, goal. Mm-hmm. And it was just, so Cale Makar had more points in that series than the Predators had goals. That is a butt kicking.
That Colorado is unreasonably good right now. And the biggest problem with that is that Minnesota, who's currently tied with St. Louis 2-2. Now, I said last week that I thought that was their worst matchup they could have pulled because for whatever reason, they're 0-4 against St. Louis in the regular season. It's just a matchup problem. I think Minnesota's even a better hockey team, but that is a matchup issue for them. But it's tied 2-2. Each team has gone to the other one's stadium or arena. I guess they don't play in stadiums in hockey. Won the first game, home team wins the second. They flip sides, road team wins the first game, home team wins the second, which, you know, going by that pace, St. Louis should win game 5, Minnesota should take game 6, and I guess St. Louis is winning in 7.
At Minnesota.
At Minnesota, yeah. Oh, actually, no, because that'll be the second of a new, so maybe Minnesota will take it in 7.
Maybe.
Who knows?
It's weird.
I don't know. But this is why I kind of really love the hockey playoffs. The Stanley Cup playoffs have how many series right now that are 2-2?
A million.
It's, you know, St. Louis, Minnesota, Oilers, Kings, Flames, Dallas. I believe the Rangers and Penguins are 3-1, unfortunately. So I might not get that one right.
Bruins, Hurricanes.
Bruins were down 2-0.
Lightning, Maple Leafs.
Basically, I mean, rest.
Yeah, basically
six
every other series.
Out of the 8.
Kings, Oilers.
Are 2-2.
Yeah. Those, and they all play tonight, by the way.
Yeah. And
or Tuesday night.
Yes. And when the NBA playoffs were in round 1, when you had those 1s versus 8s and 2s and 7s and stuff, was any of this a thing?
No.
Or did you pretty much know who was winning each and
no,
every one of those?
No, but that's why hockey's fun.
It's so much fun.
I would rather watch a hockey match than an NBA playoff game right now. Mainly because the same level of contact will result in a foul in the NBA, and it won't result in a backwards glance in the NHL. It's kind of fun that way. Here's something else, though. While all these teams are playing, Colorado's actually getting better because their goalie, who had that weird injury, he got sticked in the eye.
Which is hard to do through a goalie mask, and but they found
a
way.
In fact, I can't remember her name. That was the color commentator for the match last night. They'd never seen anything like we'd never even seen that before. It's such a fluke deal. Anyway, thankfully, you know, it's something he's going to recover from because I mean, who knows how bad that could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So the Avalanche just did that with their backup keeper, their backup goalie,
which
he did fine. But considering how well their starter was playing coming into the postseason, they're getting better while the other teams are getting more tired.
Pretty much. The biggest problem I have, though, with this is that if Minnesota gets past St. Louis, they, because of how the playoffs work, it's division alignment until the Western Conference Final. So Minnesota, regardless of any seeding, has to play Colorado if they beat St. Louis. And the only way the Blackhawks get a first-round pick out of Minnesota is if Minnesota makes the Western Conference Final.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Aaron.
Sorry.
Ugh.
It could. I mean, as much as I like the Avs, let's be honest, they've kind of fizzled
in the
postseason the last couple of times they've been there.
In the NHL playoffs, you always have that weird team that comes out of left field and makes a conference final.
Yeah.
It happens literally every year.
Which is, again, why it's fun.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's not Dallas. Please, Cal. God, it could be the Kings.
I don't like anything in Dallas, so.
Please, Oilers. Just end this now. I can't tolerate another eight-seeded Kings Stanley Cup. Two of those in one lifetime is two more than I needed, and I'm not dealing with three. I won't do it.
Again, you're going to be a first-time dad in a week. You won't even care about that. I'm telling you.
I will teach Max from a young age.
You already have his name?
Oh, yeah. We've had that for like 4 months.
That's cool. Is that short for Maximilian or just
it's
Max?
It's not. Evidently, it's just Max.
Max Power? I'm going to call him that.
I will teach him bright, young, and early before he even knows how to properly feed himself. That the Los Angeles Kings are to be hated.
Wow.
This is important. And you don't even want to know what I'm going to teach him about the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and Green Bay. You really don't like them.
This is indoctrination at its finest, and no one can stop me.
Hey, when I first took my kid home, me and my wife took my first kid home from the hospital, I made a joke. I'm like, there's some really irresponsible people that work in this building. They're just letting us walk out of here with this thing. We don't know what the hell we're doing. We had a cars. I remember them. I remember at the time, like their only thing that they like came and made sure of was that as you left, you had a proper car seat. And I remember at the time, I'm like, we probably could have faked that. We went and got one. I mean, we were trying to toe the line. But yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. We brought my kid home and we laid him down in the bassinet, which we'd had laid out. You know, it's like, this is where he's going to sleep. Yeah, that's the only time he ever laid in that thing. He was there for 10 minutes. He hated it. We never used it again. We got rid of it. Anyway, it was just that's parenting in a nutshell. Anyway, but how it starts anyway. But not that I'm telling you how it's going to go, because yours is going to go a completely different way.
Parenting, similar to the NHL playoffs.
Yes, unpredictable. It's unpredictable.
See, we always come back around.
We do, and it gives us a good segue to what I want to talk about next. Is that okay?
No, I forbid it. How dare you?
Well, I don't know if you had more NHL stuff.
No, I think we covered it.
So we're talking about unpredictable Mike Tyson, who is, quite frankly, one of the people on this planet that even if I was in Batman-esque physical condition and I had a machine gun, which Batman wouldn't have, by the way, I would still be scared of Mike Tyson at 55 or however old he is.
Is this the airplane incident?
It is. Yeah. This is also breaking news on a Tuesday afternoon. He will not be charged for allegedly pummeling some guy on an airplane who the entire country pretty much all agrees had it coming.
Well, not only that, and first of all, some of the responses I heard to that were always hilarious to me. When I think they're ruling it that he did argue self-defense, right? Because the guy hit him first.
Well, he was just pestering him.
Well, he was pestering him, but then he did... Because technically, if you pester someone and then they physically assault you, you can still win that court case. It's the fact that the guy laid his hands on Mike Tyson, I believe.
Which, again, is even stupider.
There were people genuinely who try to argue the point of... It's not self-defense because Mike Tyson's in better shape than him, so he's not a threat. No, literally any person lays a hand on any person, it's self-defense.
Thank
just
goodness.
So we're clear.
If it was set up on fitness level, I'd be screwed. Or wait, maybe
no.
I'd be in good. Yeah.
You could just go slap.
I would be in metaphor.
You could go slap whoever you wanted.
I'd be in metaphorical good shape.
But yeah, that's always been a stupid argument to me. Like, oh, so if you weigh, 112 pounds, you're allowed to slap Mike Tyson because he's bigger than you.
Well,
he's not a threat.
Do you know why I like this story turning out like it did? The world's in a weird place, and it always has been. I'm not going to act like the world was, peaches and cream when I was your age. It wasn't. Heck, the Berlin Wall had just come down, I think. So I mean that had been going on. So I just, but this whole story is a win for common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is we have got, again, this is not meant to offend anyone, but there is a lot of confusion out there. You got people thinking they're this when they're that. There are people who don't know who they are or where they come from. There's a constant discussion about what's offensive and what's not and what you can and can't say and all this other
junk. Who can
junk.
And cannot put their hands on Mike Tyson.
And it's like, oh, well, you can't do that. In this day and age, you can't do that. And it's like, well, I still like that there's enough of a common opinion on this that we all kind of agreed, judge included apparently, mm-hmm. and district attorney or whoever was involved, that if you're stupid enough and belligerent enough to continually harass a man who is arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time and has mental health issues in the past.
Or really anybody.
And yeah, anybody. but I'm going to detail it for Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be doing that to anybody. But at the top of that list is a guy who's been to jail. He's been the heavyweight champ. He has a history of struggling with mental health issues. He is winning that battle right now. He has a face tattoo. And he bit a man's ear off, part of his ear off, and sells marijuana edibles shaped like little ears. These are all true things. Yeah, I'm going to pester that guy.
You shouldn't do this to anybody because it's wrong.
You shouldn't.
And you shouldn't do it to Mike Tyson because it's stupid.
Because because on top of the fact that it's wrong, it is one of the dumbest, it is literally one of the dumbest things I can possibly think of.
For instance, you really shouldn't break into anyone's house because
right.
that's just rude. You really shouldn't break into the lion exhibit at the zoo.
Yeah.
Because then it's just stupid. Or, that's what this is.
Or the home of the head of SEAL Team 6. Oh, whoops, you screwed up there. You shouldn't do that. Anyway, I just feel like this was a win. This was a win for old-fashioned common sense. And what's funny is Mike Tyson himself has been quoted many times as saying, everybody has a plan mm-hmm. until you get punched in the face. This was literally that. This guy had some kind of unknown plan. It's like, well,
we'll never know.
Your plan sucked. Unless your plan was to get pummeled by him. And I'll bet you Mike took it easy on him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Mike wanted to... Holy mercy. I still think he could beat two-thirds of the current heavyweights at 55. I really do. Yeah. Anyway, I just... Mike, if you're listening, I'm actually a fan. I'm not condoning any of the bad stuff that people have done, but he paid for it. And I think he tries to be a good person to overcome challenges that he has. That's admirable, and I think people are on board with that. And I think that's what happened here.
Except for some guy on a plane.
Exactly. And then, I mean, really, how bad of a decision is it that, seriously, almost to a man or woman, everybody went, yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
How dumb does your decision have to be where you get pummeled to the point of unrecognition and everyone thinks you're in the wrong?
It's pretty sweet, actually. Anyway, I liked that. Anyway, the end of this article cracks me up too. Tyson, 55, now focuses on his cannabis line along with his podcast, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. Whatever that means. He was last seen ringside at Dimitri Bivol's upset victory of Canelo Alvarez in Las Vegas.
Woo!
Anyway, that's I just wanted to talk about that for a minute because I was glad that he got off, and it would have irritated me if it's like, yeah, no, he's going back to jail because some dude wouldn't leave him alone on a plane.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we didn't get a chance to speak with two people last week about the results of the NFL draft, which now feels like old news at this point.
It does, but it's barely just been a little bit.
And the hilarious social media videos that... It's weird that in Chicago right now, the most popular draft pick in that city was the safety they took in round 7. I think his name's Elijah Wilkes because of his social media posts immediately really? Following being drafted. There was one where he couldn't spit the words out. He put on a Bears hat and he just kept, I'm so, oh, you guys have, no. And then he just drops down and starts doing push-ups.
I guess I missed this.
It was hilarious.
How did I miss this?
Then he was asked, I believe he took an interview on ChicagoBears.com. Jeff Joniak conducted the interview and asked him, evidently he became somewhat mini-famous if you watched NFL Network's draft coverage because he had a table with all 32 hats on it
okay.
that they kept cutting to.
I did see that.
And they asked him.
So I'm like, that's expensive. Those hats are like $40
now. They said, where'd you get all those? And he talked about the website he got them from, and they said, you know, we noticed the tags are still on all of them, though. Are you meaning to, like, return them? And he said, oh, yeah, 31 of those are getting returned
immediately. Oh, that is awesome. that's a kid. To me, that is actually a gold star for someone I want to draft. Because it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to, you know, sign $1 million contract. I don't care if I buy 32 hats. He's like, bull crap. I'm not buying 31 hats.
He goes, oh, yeah, 31 of those are going back.
It reminds me of when Alfred Morris, he used to mm-hmm. the running back for the Redskins. There was a big story done on him because, you know, he had a breakout couple of years there with Washington. And
he was on my fantasy team in 2012.
Well, and, yeah, in 2012, let's be honest, him and RG3 put on a pretty fun show for Washington fans. But by the next year, there was a big, like, do you know what kind of car? He still drove the car that he drove at, like, Florida. It was either Florida Atlantic or Florida International. I can't remember which one he went to. But it's like a Mazda, and it had all these miles on it, and it was kind of beat up. And they're like, why don't you get another car? And he's like, there's nothing wrong with this car. It was just, and, like, how he still slept on his mom's couch. So he's like this guy that was, like, one of the leaders in the NFL in rushing, and he drove a beat-up Mazda and slept on his mom's couch. I love guys like that.
Did you ever see the Jim Zorn NFL Network special of him and Steve Largent?
Jim Zorn is pretty awesome.
Him and Steve Largent were like roommates their entire careers. And Jim Zorn not only drove a beat-up slug bug, a little beetle car, his entire career, he was weirdly, like, defensively proud of it. And Largent makes fun of him through the whole thing where he's like, this car is like 20 years old and he's driving it to, you know, practice every day. But I swear to you, if anyone so much as like spit within 5 feet of that car, Zorn was going to be on you.
That's awesome. I guess. And one of the more recent ones, again, a former Washington player, Kirk Cousins. He was getting, this was in the middle, I read this, he was still with Washington, but he was franchise tagged 2 or 3 times in a row, and each one of those was over $20 million. And so, I mean, he had made like $40, $60 million from Washington, and that was before he went and signed the huge contract with the Vikings. but he still drove like a conversion van that technically still was owned by his parents. And his dad was like a preacher. Anyway, and they're
Kirk
like...
Cousins is a wild, wild
and
individual.
They're like, why don't you get another vehicle? And he's just like, I like this van. Yeah, there's some of that going around.
Ooh-wee! Ooh-wee!
Here comes Kirk Cousins!
Kirk Cousins sound bites in post games are the greatest things that have ever existed.
I still love the you like that.
We've got you like that. We've got the ooey as he was entering the locker room with his head pointed up in the sky, just going, ooey. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks, you white man.
I said he's went to Michigan State and his dad's a preacher. What do you want?
You know, he's from Northern Illinois. He grew up a Bears fan.
Well, then
we can claim him.
So you're making fun of him, knowing that he's
that's
very
not making
much like
fun
you.
Of. Nothing that I just said was intended as mockery.
The white man sounds pretty mocking. Yes, I know we're both. That's what I'm saying. I was a little offended.
So yeah. Anyhow, to round that back to what I was saying initially, Elijah Wilkes, huge superstar all of a sudden in Chicago, despite the fact he's never played a game for the Bears and he was a seventh round pick. Now, granted, he projects in his scouting report. They said he could be a serviceable starter. His ball skills are okay. Great for college player. They don't know that it'll translate because he's fast, but not like elite closer fast. Like if you overthrow the receiver, he'll probably intercept it. They don't know that he's going to be Troy Polamalu. However, his greatest skill set was shedding blocks and tackling. He is a phenomenal open field tackler.
I thought you were going to say it was social media.
Oh, no. They project that even if he doesn't crack the starting lineup, and I don't know that he will because I don't know that the Bears are going to bench Eddie Jackson, and they took a safety in round two from Penn State, Jaquan Brisker, who I do love. Great player. He should be a fantastic special teams player, if nothing else. If you're fast and you're able to tackle people in space with ease.
Here's the thing, though. Every year on every team, virtually, there is somebody who takes the job of somebody who was supposed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every team, every year. So, I mean, there are literally dozens of stories where, oh, this guy's a seventh-round pick, or, oh, this guy is an undrafted free agent, and they get a job. And it's like, well, if they're on the final, 50-whatever man roster, that means there's a guy who was like a blue chipper somewhere along the line that was over. It was drafted in the second or third round that did not live up to expectations. So I'm a big fan of these types of guys. In fact, well, I hope this guy not only gets a job, I hope he gets the starting job.
I would, if Elijah Wilkes steals Eddie Jackson's free safety job, and I hope Elijah Wilkes is the greatest safety the Bears have ever
and
had.
Maybe it's not
he's just so likable.
And maybe it's not a theft thing. Maybe the other guy gets hurt. Not that I'm wishing that on anybody. I'm looking at it from a Washington standpoint. Last year, Cam Curl.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Curl ended up being one of Washington's best defensive backs as a seventh-round pick rookie. Well, he probably should have been drafted before that. But that's where he was, and that's who got him, and he excelled. That happens on every team, every year. So it's kind of fun to see how these guys play out. In the meantime, same Washington franchise, I can pick, it doesn't take long to look through some of the players recently. It's like, wow, he was a bust. Oh, he's apparently beating his girlfriend or something like that, and there's complete
waste.
Well,
you remember
pick.
How high I was on George Pickens before the draft.
Yeah.
And then on draft day, when he was drafted, the video surfaced of him assaulting a fellow student with mental handicaps.
Yeah, and I'm sure they waited until he was drafted to release that or to pump it out again.
Because initially I was furious that the Bears took Kyler Gordon, a cornerback, a good cornerback,
yeah,
but a cornerback.
I wanted
Pickens and he was there and I was so confused. And then I got less confused. And then in round three, I saw David Bell was still on the board. And we took a guy I'd never heard of. And here's where things get interesting. You have talked about leading up to the draft. It feels like all the superstar receivers keep coming out of these middle rounds. And I said, who is Velus Jones from Tennessee? David Bell was right there from Purdue. like one of those golden boys who just happened to run a slow 40 and it dropped his draft stock. And I still think he'll be a good receiver. I think Cleveland will like him. I think he'll start in Cleveland. Then I had to look up who Velus Jones was. And one of the flaws that I see with him, of why I probably haven't seen a whole lot of him, he's not very tall, and he's not a great hands catcher. So he's the opposite of David Bell, and he's the opposite of like Allen Robinson, who we had last year. But one thing I do like that I think is a good quality in a middle-round player is that his strengths are, well, first of all, he's a run-after-catch monster. They actually pulled it up, Pro Football Focus. He led college football in 2021 in yards after contact and yards after catch per reception. So he's evidently a monster with the ball in his hands. Well, he doesn't go down.
He was in college anyway.
Well, yes. Though he played in the SEC.
Because I think the first, I want to say Washington's pick last year, Dyami Brown, was a third-round pick. I think he led that category, too. And he had 12 catches last year for Washington. Yeah. So,
but the big thing is that his quote-unquote biggest strength was that he is a gym rat. He just loves he loves working out. He loves going to practice. They stuck his locker immediately. Like, it's the locker right next to Justin Fields in their locker room.
I think these guys, you know, we talked about, you know, Cooper Kupp, I think he's a fourth-round pick. Mm-hmm. And you look at these receivers that are dominating the league. Tyreek Hill, these guys, they were not the first-round picks. They were later.
Then you also have the Ja'Marr Chases that come
true,
out. True,
but yeah. Those have been more rare. I mean, he might be the most no-brainer wide receiver since, I don't even know who.
I said since Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, or Randy Moss. Actually, Randy Moss wasn't even a sure thing. He dropped Clore down at the end of the round. So, speaking of which, Justin Jefferson, there's another guy, you know.
No, he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, but they traded Stephon Diggs.
That must be the most even trade in the history.
Banking on he was going to be that good. And let's be honest, most teams don't do that.
Well, they actually didn't bank that he was going to be that good because they used the pick they got from Buffalo to take Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they must have had an inkling of how good that kid could be. I'm with you. You don't know how good these receivers are going to be until they get into the situation where they're at. I think it's more about how they react to where they've been and the fit they're going to be within an offense. You know, some of these guys, like how dedicated they are. I had not spent 5 seconds reading about Jahan Dotson from Penn State until Washington picked him. Now, I love this kid.
I actually mentioned this last week, but you weren't here. I had to grill you a bit for having not heard of him after I brought him up on this show.
Well, I don't
like
listen
five
to you.
Times.
But I'm just saying. But like, so here's a story from this past week. You know, they elect the rookie mini camp and all this stuff, and he was going to skip his Penn State graduation because they had practice. And Ron Rivera's like, "Good, no, you're going to your graduation." So your coach made him go to the graduation. But he didn't want to. He was going to skip it because he had practice. I like that kid.
See, to be fair, though, maybe he's just like me. And he was like, no, that's okay, coach. I really don't want to sit through the graduation ceremony.
Well, as an older adult with a little more life experience, Ron Rivera said, son, you're going to your graduation. That's cool. Anyway, I should have listened to you more. But I was getting all covetous, I guess is the right word. I was getting all covetous for a big bodied wide receiver like the USC kid, Drake kid.
Now, but to be fair to Dotson, he is short.
Well, he's like my height, which is not saying much.
For an NFL receiver.
Oh yeah.
But he can jump. It's not like the jump ball is scratched because of his height at this point.
Well, he kind of reminds me of McLaurin in terms of how he carries himself. And I'll tell you what, Washington can use as many of those types of guys as they can get. So I really like the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but we'll see which ones rise to the surface.
I also thought, I talked about earlier, the most even trade of all time, Minnesota trading Diggs to the Bills to get a draft pick that they would then use on Justin Jefferson. How about the Eagles getting A.J. Brown from Tennessee, and Tennessee immediately taking Treylon Burks from Arkansas,
yeah,
who projects to be the next A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel type receiver?
It's still a gamble, but there was a lot of teams that were in kind of salary cap purgatory, like the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of that that happened in the draft. There was a lot of teams going, we're going to eat this, we're going to eat losing this player and gamble that we can get him on a rookie contract with a different player, because the wide receiver market is stupid.
And can I also say, there have been so many posts on social media about how much money Malik Willis lost out on because he wasn't a first-round pick. Why are we only focusing on the quarterback there? First of all, as if he should have been a first-round pick. None of these quarterbacks were first-round picks.
Or they weren't supposed to be.
Yeah. Second of all, are you going to say that about literally all the third-round draft picks?
How about Sam Howell? Sam Howell was projected to be the first pick in 2020. He went in the fifth round to Washington this last,
mm-hmm.
And again, maybe he'll do fine. But it's just like,
why are we all so sorry for the quarterbacks just because they're quarterback? Oh, I can't believe the quarterbacks. But well, so did like half the linebackers and tight ends, and
there's all kinds of players that don't even get a fair shot. In fact, I'm going to throw this out there: Elijah Halliburton. He was one of the best defensive backs. He led Wyoming in tackles a couple years ago. Thought for sure he was going to get drafted, and if he didn't get drafted, he was going to sign a free agent deal. Nothing, not a sniff, not nothing. And I'll just say it, I don't know why, and it's not fair. He should have got a chance, but he didn't get a chance. So that's the reality,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes you don't even get a chance. And so in this case, yeah, don't cry for Malik Willis in his third round draft status. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
it's like people being sad for Akili Smith because he sucked with the Bengals those years ago. That was back when there wasn't a cap on this rookie salary cap, and I think he fleeced them for about $30 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't feel sorry for any of them. It's awesome they get drafted.
Didn't Houston send like back-to-back quarterbacks into the league in the 90s, like University of Houston? Like back-to-back years, they had the number one overall pick, and both of them turned into huge busts.
I think I know who you're talking about, but
why can't I think of the guy that wasn't Akili Smith?
Well, he went to Oregon.
Oh, okay, yeah. Who?
Boy, that whole year was a mess. Cade McNown.
Joey
Harrington.
Hey, Joey Harrington does at least have a very successful YouTube channel now.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. Anybody can have a YouTube channel when you got $50 million.
I just appreciate
that you stole from some NFL
that
franchises.
Joey Harrington is still willing to discuss the sport he loves, considering the sport he loves chewed him up and spit him out so quickly. Though I say that.
Okay, David Klingler.
There it is.
So David Klingler, I remember this because he was known as the guy with the strongest arm in the league, even when he was there, but it just never translated. Andre Ware. That's who you're thinking of. That was the one we were thinking of. And then, to a lesser extent, Kevin Kolb. But he wasn't like a... Andre Ware was supposed to be like a revolutionary...
Do you remember in 2010 when the Eagles were genuinely convinced that they had the quarterback that was going to replace Donovan McNabb because they had Kevin Kolb? And then 2 weeks into the season, they benched him for Michael Vick and then found out that Michael Vick was an MVP-caliber quarterback for that year and went, oops.
And there's the other side of this whole scouting thing. Millions upon millions for every team for scouting, sending people out, you know, hundreds of years of expertise, and it's still just a crapshoot sometimes. I mean, you can't see what's right in front of your face. Just who knows?
Michael Vick, who I was genuinely convinced was the most overrated quarterback ever when he was in Atlanta, and then became arguably underrated in the MVP race. Literally, he had to lose his ability to be an elite runner, and it somehow prison turned him into an elite quarterback, and I'm not sure what happened, but it was amazing.
Well, he couldn't run anymore, so there's too many. Let's be honest, you can't do a lot of wind sprints in there, can you? when you're locked down. I don't know how much he was locked up. Anyway, but yeah. So yeah, Andre Ware,
well,
David Klingler.
We'll say this: talking about your Wyoming cornerback. If he wants a second opportunity, those exist now, which will segue nicely
you're
into.
You're talking about Tashawn Gibson, or are you talking about?
No, you're
else?
Talking about the cornerback that didn't get drafted.
Oh,
and,
right,
yeah,
Halliburton.
Yeah, we
okay.
got two spring leagues now.
Yeah, I don't
starting
even know.
Next year.
I don't know where he went.
And the USFL, my Breakers. Did everything, just so we're clear, I was watching that game. They outgained the Houston Gamblers 480-something to like 135 yards. Like they quadrupled Houston's yardage in the game. And the game was tied 16-16 in the final 30 seconds of that ball game.
So,
and it was pathetic. But then, in a league where no one can kick the football, they get inside the 25-yard line, and I'm thinking, there's like 15 seconds left, they have no timeouts. And I think to myself, they're not really going to try like a 45-yard field goal to win this game, are they? Like, surely not. So they say, you know what the heck, we'll throw one final pass to the end zone just for giggles. And they throw a 25-yard touchdown as Jonathan Adams jumped over three guys, caught the ball, brings it down, 10 seconds left, game-winning touchdown. That was thrilling.
Well, I'm a fan of that kind of finish. Don't give it to the kicker.
Although, in a league, I just said in a league where kicking has been a nightmare, New Orleans got a brand new kicker this year. They got a guy who has apparently kicked in the NFL previously.
That doesn't mean much anymore.
Yeah, his name is Bertolette. He played for the St. Louis Rams.
Ugh.
And the New York Jets, and has been out of football for 2 years.
And the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
How old is this guy?
They bring him in, and the first thing I noticed was I said, oh, I don't really remember this guy. But evidently he's Texas A&M's all-time most accurate kicker.
So unless I went to Texas A&M, I don't know who he is.
Yeah. He shows up, and I said, oh, okay, so there's the fullback. Where's the – is the kicker somewhere in the back? Oh, my God, that is the kicker. He clearly spent the last 2 years he was away from football, like, living, sleeping, and eating in the gym. And I went, you're just the kicker? Why do you need that many muscles?
Well, he's probably like, maybe I'm going to have to play another position here.
His jersey and pants legitimately didn't fit him.
They had to get him from the linebacker.
He actually cut. Like, he took a pair of scissors, and he had a triangle in the football pants that he had cut so that they wouldn't cut off the circulation in his thigh. He actually cut his pants so they'd fit.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. So USFL, the website, they have power rankings.
Not as good as mine.
How close are they to yours?
I'm not looking at them, so you tell me as I rank my teams here.
All right, okay.
Just because they're still undefeated, they had a little bit of a scare. I'll stay with Birmingham, number one.
That's who these guys have, is number one.
And you should have, you know, I don't know if you listen to the weeks where you're not on, but last week I did brag a little bit on myself for the accuracy of my power rankings, and every team I have ranked higher always beats
have
the team
I argued your USFL rankings once?
No, but I know that I'm beating, every time CBS puts theirs out on Twitter, mine are always are better than theirs.
Well, this is like the actual USFL website. And this just came out just a few hours ago.
Well, let's see. I've got my New Orleans Breakers, 3-1.
That's who they have as number two.
As long as they don't turn. So that's the big thing. They outgained Houston by like quadruple the yardage, but the turnovers were 4-0. New Orleans turned it over 4 times from just ridiculous things. Like they had a tight end slip and fall, and it led to an interception. A different tight end slip and fall when he was blocking led to a strip sack. They had a kick or a 53-yard field goal get blocked and run into their territory. Like, it was just weird turnovers. And I said, you cannot actually lose a game purely on bad luck, can you?
I think it's happened.
Like you cannot physically dominate a team this hard and then lose on pure bad luck, right?
Yeah.
And thankfully they didn't.
But I think that's possible for sure. Well, hey, first and second, you agree.
All right.
You guys are in agreement.
Let's say number three. I'm going to go with the 3-1 New Jersey Generals.
So far, you're a 3-for-3.
Oh, nice.
Or they're 3-for-3 if you, whichever one.
They're chasing me here, Dal. That's the way this works.
Okay.
No, but they obviously...
For all I know, they listened to your podcast. They just typed it up.
New Jersey lost opening day. They were the first team to lose a football game in this league.
And they should have won that game.
They haven't lost since.
I actually watched that one.
Yeah. They've been rolling. And I remember, you know, I've got that thing going where eight of us in my family and friend circle have each picked a team, and the winner gets a free T-shirt or hat from whoever's team comes in last. Kelly was the last person to get to pick because I think he was working that evening. So everyone else texted back first, and he says, "I don't want to be stuck with a team." I said, "Well, New Jersey's the last team left. You can either participate, or we'll get someone else that wants to." He's like, "Oh, fine, I'll take New Jersey."
Yeah, and they've been pretty good.
They're 3-1. They're in first place.
And they should have won. They should have won that first one.
Ugh.
They should have beat Birmingham. They played better, I thought. All right.
Perhaps.
So the first three, they are copying you team for team.
Yeah, and a lot of people are really in love with Philadelphia, who should have lost to Michigan. They absolutely should have. Philadelphia, everyone loves because their quarterback play has been the best. But this is where fans need to remember that football teams are not just quarterbacks. That's not how it works.
Yeah, there's 11 guys.
Yeah. You almost lost to a team with one win.
Okay. So you're saying Philadelphia shouldn't be fourth.
I'm trying to think here whether I'd put Philly four, whether I would give it... Oh, unfortunately, everyone else... Kind of sucks, though. You wouldn't put Michigan ahead of them, even though they should have lost, because Michigan lost. Can't put Houston ahead of them.
There's so much drama.
Pittsburgh is abysmal. All right, you know what? Forget it. Philadelphia is number four.
And that's who these guys have.
I talked myself back into it by remembering how bad everyone else
again,
is.
Again, they're just copying you.
Yeah.
So Birmingham, New Orleans, New Jersey, Philadelphia, top four.
Here's my surprise one. Even though they've only got one win, I'm going to give Houston five.
Okay.
They lost to Tampa Bay. They had no business losing to Tampa Bay.
So that's the first disagreement so far with the...
Did they have Tampa Bay?
They have Tampa as five.
Tampa Bay is so bad.
And then they have Houston six. So you just had those flip-flops.
No, I don't.
You have Tampa farther down than
that.
Oh,
yeah. I've got Tampa at seven.
Okay. Yeah, these guys have Michigan at seven.
I think Michigan's better than them. Michigan okay. Michigan keeps doing that lovely little thing that you love to see in pro sports where... Every week it feels like they have a chance to or should win, but they find creative ways to lose. And so in my brain, I want to rank them higher because I'm like, they look like they're better at football. They're just not winning at football, and I don't understand why.
So you've got Tampa at number seven.
Seven, and everyone on the planet should have Pittsburgh at eight.
All right.
I don't think they're ever going to win.
Which they do. Yeah. but I'll just tell you what, you just tanked our podcast in Tampa Bay. Wow.
my poor mother and her Tampa Bay Bandits.
We were bad-mouthing Tom Brady before, and now this.
Who, by the way, I did enjoy in our group text message we got going, informed my dad, who picked the Stallions, that his win doesn't count this week because this weekend was Mother's Day. So Tampa Bay got the win. Like, regardless of how the players actually played on the field, the win is awarded to Tampa because it was Mother's Day weekend.
Wow. Some strange rules in this league.
Some strange rules. You gotta love it.
I had something else on my mind I wanted to bring up, and I can't remember what it was.
Here's a weird question. Have you seen a picture of Kyle Sloter's groin?
No.
No? You didn't Google that this morning?
I can say that absolutely no, I did not.
Okay. But because they actually were showing... Like, what had happened? They said it was a pulled groin. And I said, oh, I had a pulled groin once. Like, in seventh grade, I pulled a groin, and I was out, like, a game. Evidently, he must have done something entirely different. The entire lower abdominal region is entirely purple.
Oh, wow.
I said, what did you... You like pulled it out. Like you removed it from your body and are just bleeding internally now. What did you... How do you pull a groin and make your entire stomach purple?
I don't know.
He played. He played anyway.
How does that work?
The madman. And the problem is, part of his skill set is that he's a very gifted runner, at least among these guys. He can't run with a purple groin.
That's racist.
They
can do what he wants.
They injured my man's genitals, and now he can't play football, but he tries.
Oh, man. Oh, what? This is what I wanted to bring
up. It's like cutting Samson's hair.
I guess.
You can't remove Kyle Sloter's groin.
So we got about 5 minutes left, and I want to bring this up. This is actually something to do with you, and you're a big White Sox fan, obviously. All
I'm
Chicago
not talking
sports.
About this.
Whatever, we're talking about this. Well, or whatever. But another
you're
guy
talking about the game last night.
No.
Oh, I'm. Oh, thank God.
But I'm also talking about. Well, we kind of are. Because one of our coworkers is a Red Sox fan.
Oh, so not from last night, but the sweep over the Red Sox.
Yes. And so you were pretty vocal, at least through texting and whatnot, about it's like, oh, you know, looks like, you know, basically you were razzing.
I was trying to razz our GM Duke here after game one, because my assumption was, okay, well, Boston's going to take one back, and then game three, we'll see which of it. And then Boston never took one back, and then I just felt guilty. But, like, I wasn't going to stop either, because I'm evil.
So, yeah, so Aaron just kind of kept poking the dead bird that was out in the yard, and I thought to myself, did you ask, it's like, is this too much?
Oh. How many is too many? And so, Red Sox losing memes.
And so I was like, well, I think you've already mocked him in one text thread more than I've mocked him in 8 years that we've worked together. That probably just means I should do a little more mocking.
Evidently.
But anyway.
If I had known you in 2019, right? When the Bears, and this is the saddest part, I've been watching football since 2002. Did you know that was the first time I have ever, in the regular season, watched the Bears beat Washington? Hmm. We had an 0-9 streak. We hadn't beaten Washington since 2000 in Brian Urlacher's rookie year.
What's kind of funny about that is I have a brother who's also a Bears fan, and I was bringing that up. And then he always brings up whatever that hellacious championship game was or whatever game where the Bears beat Washington like 73-0.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 40s or whatever. He brings that. I'm just like, who cares?
It's an interesting tidbit.
Well, it is, but he doesn't get to throw that in my face when they've lost 9 in a row currently.
Not anymore, baby. The streak's 1-0. Let's go, Bears. Come on, Bears. Yeah,
only because we don't play again this year.
That game was wild, too, because I distinctly remember Taylor Gabriel weirdly going off and then never doing anything else for the rest of his Bears career.
That's pretty typical for Washington.
That and Vernon Davis trying to hurdle Prince Amukamara, who just stood there and watched the attempt.
Yeah.
That was
funny.
Yeah,
and he just kind of caught him and threw him down to the ground.
He said, I've seen this before.
I will not be hurdled. I will not be turned into a poster.
That and... It was Case Keenum was your quarterback, yep. who weirdly thought on 4th and inches in the middle of the field that jumping over and stretching the football was... Like, he got the first down, congrats. But then I think Danny Trevathan simply took the ball from him.
It was...
Yeah. It was also... It was a fun little game, and it was quite a way to get our first win in my viewing lifetime over Washington. And my point is, had I known you at the time, I would have had some memes lined up.
I would hope so, considering some of the names fired. You just threw out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was 2019.
So I guess our question was, how many is too many? We're still figuring that out.
Anyway, the reason I said I wasn't going to talk about last night was the White Sox entered the 9th inning with an 8-2 lead and lost.
Oh.
Yeah. It was It was ridiculous. Six errors committed, four in one inning. That's not possible. I refuse to accept that I saw that in real life.
It happened. It is possible.
Ugh.
All right, those are today's scores. I want yesterday.
I don't. Yesterday didn't happen. Yesterday is a myth.
I want to look at it.
Dal's particular there brand of evil is somehow worse than my
own. The Guardians, and they lost to a team with, I'll say it again, their logo, it looks like an 8-bit G. Their logo looks like it was designed to be played on the original Nintendo.
Speaking of weird losing streaks Chicago have, by the way, us losing to Washington 9 times in a row was just baffling. But at least the Bears weren't exactly some superpower through the 2000s or anything. So it was just two mediocre teams, and one of them kept beating the other one.
Or less than mediocre in Washington's case.
The White Sox, for the last 3 years, have been a better team than Cleveland in every aspect. You can almost argue that they're better than Cleveland at, like, between 7 and 9 whole positions. Like, just way better. And we can never beat Cleveland. They beat us in every series. At best, we will split if it's 4 games. Every time. For 3 years, Cleveland beats us in every series. And someone will have to explain how that's happening.
I don't know.
Because... What? All right, everyone else beats Cleveland. White Sox, just also do that. How hard could that be?
Here's what's funny. I'm a Washington fan, and I have less of a problem with Washington changing their name and stuff like that than I do with Cleveland. And I think part of it's because I really like the movie Major League. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's like, but.
Now, I was going to say, did you not care for the Replacements then? But I believe they did. They changed the names for the movie, didn't they?
The Replacements, it's not a good movie.
I've actually never seen it. But I know it's based on the actual story of
Washington seen it several times.
Beating Dallas.
It's not a good movie. It's just not. Some people tend to paint it like it's better than it is. I think I just rewatched it a couple of months ago. Yeah, it's not a good movie.
The Scab period is wild in that... Have you ever noticed how many head coaches of the 2000s were weirdly Scab quarterbacks in the strike year?
No, I hadn't.
Jason Garrett came in, and he actually earned an actual backup job because his Scab performance was decent enough. Spurrier.
Oh, Steve Spurrier.
He played a year.
That's right.
And Sean Payton was our Jim McMahon insurance when everyone went on strike.
Oh, I forgot.
He played
about
in
that.
One game. He threw 3 interceptions, and as a fun tidbit...
Which is still better than Zach Wilson. Boom!
I'm sure maybe you will, because I wouldn't be nudge-nudge, wink-winking otherwise. Can you guess the team he threw 3 interceptions against?
The Packers?
It was the New Orleans Saints. Oh. And Sean Payton at that moment said, I want to be on that team. They're better. I should coach them to a Super Bowl.
Wow. It's kind of amazing they have a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They were the Aints for so long.
They were.
All right, Aaron. We are out of time, my friend.
Oh, well, I think we covered just about everything, and then one baseball game too many.
Yeah.
So now I have to go take
That's
a crying
fault.
Break anyway.
That's your fault.
Yeah.
You wanted to bring it up.
Well, we are now back on Spotify and YouTube and svinews.com/podcast.
Tell all your Mike Tyson friends that we talk about him this week.
Yes. And then Mike Tyson will invite us onto his podcast.
That would hot boxing with Mike Tyson. Dude, that would be that'd be surreal.
Oh, well, on that note, we'll see y'all next time.